I'm Dream Queen. You're in the cab with me. Thanks for rolling. We're in a book club, and we're talking about Khalil Gibran's The Prophet in its 101st year of publication. It's all in free domain. You can find yourself a copy online if you don't have one already in the hard version. Anywhere. A lot of thrift stores and secondhand bookstores have it for literally pennies. I'm blessed to be able to be here reading this with you all. And thanks to everyone who's reading along, just giving me your comments and your feelings on it. Today's poem is on work. And for those of you who are just joining, you can catch up later on by going to In the Cab Radio at mixcloud.com. That's got full shows with music and everything. And if you just want the book club or interviews portion of the show, you can skip around over there. You could also go on over to YouTube at In the Cab Radio at youtube.com. Follow along on Instagram. Those links are there in all of the bios. Everything is free. Just go ahead and just a click away. So, Al-Mustafa, he's a traveler, he's a sage, he is leaving the land of Orphalese. His ship approaches through the mist in the distance, and as he leaves his hermitage and travels through the village toward the waterside, word travels. During this harvest season, people leave their instruments and follow him down to the water. Kind of sad he's leaving. But he's like, I have to move on. He's been there 12 years now. And the people ask him to stay. And he cries. Silently a tear. One single tear is falling down his breast. And they get down toward the water, and Almitra Sirius comes out of the temple and meets them in the square outside. And she understands the vibe. And this is a very Sagittarius vibe, the traveler sage here. Time for him to go. And she says, we can't keep you here. We don't want to stifle your growth like that. So while we wait for your ship, will you please tell us what you've learned, all that which is between birth and death. And Al-Mustafa says, I cannot tell you what you don't already know is within your hearts. And they're like, tell us anyway. And he says, okay, my boat is still out there. So here we are. We've discussed love. We've discussed marriage. We've discussed children. We've discussed giving. We've discussed eating and drinking. And now, a plowman said, speak to us of work. And he answered, saying, you work that you may keep pace with the earth and the soul of the earth. For to be idle is to become a stranger unto the seasons, and to step out of life's procession that marches in majesty and proud submission towards the infinite. When you work, you are a flute through whose heart the whispering of the hours turns to music. Which of you would be a reed, dumb and silent, when all else sings together in unison? Always you have been told that work is a curse and labor a misfortune. But I say to you that when you work, you fulfill a part of Earth's furthest dream, assigned to you when that dream was born. And in keeping yourself with labor, you are in truth loving life. And to love life through labor is to be intimate with life's inmost secret. But if you in your pain call birth an affliction, and the support of the flesh a curse written upon your brow, then I answer that naught but the sweat of your brow shall wash away that which is written. You have been told also that life is darkness, and in your weariness you echo what was said by the weary. And I say that life is indeed darkness, save when there is urge, and all urge is blind, save when there is knowledge, and all knowledge is vain, save when there is work, and all work is empty, save when there is love. And when you work with love, you bind yourself to yourself and to one another and to God. And what is it to work with love? It is to weave the cloth with threads drawn from your heart, even as if your beloved were to wear that cloth. It is to build a house with affection, even as if your beloved were to dwell in that house. It is to sow seeds with tenderness and reap the harvest with joy, even as if your beloved were to eat the fruit. It is to charge all things you fashion with a breath of your own spirit, and to know that all the blessed dead are standing about you and watching. Often I have heard you say, as if speaking in sleep, "He who works in marble and finds the shape of his own soul in the stone is nobler than he who plows the soil, and he who seizes the rainbow to lay it on a cloth in the likeness of man is more than he who makes the sandals for our feet." But I say, not in sleep, but in the overwakefulness of noontide, that the wind speaks not more sweetly to the giant oaks than to the least of all the blades of grass. And he alone is great who turns the voice of the wind into a song made sweeter by his own loving. Work is love made visible. And if you cannot work with love, but only with distaste, it is better that you should leave your work and sit at the gate of the temple and take alms of those who work with joy. For if you bake bread with indifference, you bake a bitter bread that feeds but half man's hunger. And if you grudge the crushing of the grapes, your grudge distills a poison in the wine. And if you sing, though as angels, and love not the singing, you muffle man's ears to the voices of the day and the voices of the night. Khalil Gibran, The Prophet on Work. All right, y'all. So, how long y'all think I've been working on these reflections? Say 14 hours. Okay. Minus time for sleep. So I had a hard time, though. No, for real. I started on this early yesterday. And I'm like, how am I going to talk to people about this type of work when we live under the yoke of that type of work? You know what I mean? When we're talking about soul work and being in unity. But so many of us make choices that we just have to do because capitalism, right? And y'all know I love a musical selection, so I'm looking through, trying to make a playlist to pop in and out of here. And there's really nothing that, not much out here that was matching up with what Gibran's trying to say. You know, it's a lot of mournful work in our lives. A lot of mournful work. So in... You know, I have some pieces here underlined, and I just wanted to say that first part because, again, y'all who listen to the show regularly, y'all know I'm not trying to be uppity. It sounds like I'm preaching. That's because I'm in here by myself, and I come from preachers, but I just, you know, I'm not trying to tell people what to do or making some sort of assessment from some sort of spiritual bypassing angle. But and also I am saying a whole bunch of other things, like we got to get right with the way we look at the world, because until everybody gets right with the way that we understand how we're all connected and our parts, what we can do that starts within us, we're not going to get really much far with world peace. I mean, it's just in the book club, we've read bell hooks and Dr. King, and I'm going to, if I have time, I'm going to go back to some words from Dr. King around this, namely the Unfulfilled Dreams sermon. But, you know, these works really tie into the themes of personal self-work and community work and global work. They're all important. And, you know, relationship to the higher self or spirit, because capitalism has robbed us of that. Colonialism has robbed us of our relationship to the earth. So if we're talking about climate change, if we're talking about land back, if we're talking about the wars, multiple wars that are going on right now, about sovereignty and who has access to land and resources, to what end? So I think this poem is particularly challenging us to be in rhythm with the earth. However we can do that, taking upon your circumstances right now in your life, if you have an ability to start a garden or work in a garden or care for animals or wherever it is in your life that you can put yourself in alignment with the, what he called the life's inmost secret. So for me, I paint right now. I do a lot of different type of things, but one of the things I do is paint houses and pieces inside of houses and a little bit outside of houses for people. And I choose that part to say because that's my favorite part of all the different type of jobs I do for money right now, currently. Painting is my favorite because it allows me to be creative, artistic in a sense, and spend time reflecting. I also get to put my vibe in people's house. You know, but it's a real deal. And I didn't really realize what I was doing until a client said that. You know, it was my first time doing a really big job and they came in and they're like, I can feel your energy in here. It's like a whole different place. And thank you. You know, and so then I started to really realize that I'm not just out here exchanging money with people for labor. I'm exchanging energy on a core level of who I am. And sometimes when I was in retail, that was iffy, you know, because it's very much based on the money part of currency. But if you get the right kind of retail job where you're actually helping someone solve a problem or work with people in an advisory kind of way, that's neat. Because we're connecting, we're making connections, you know. When people just come in and throw money on a counter to do just a sloppy exchange, I don't really feel much in that. But there are some people that they can work with that, and they have other ways. Maybe they have children that put them in a cycle. Maybe they have farm animals or a band, you know. So I'm being really clear that I understand the separation of working for money and working for spirit, right? And we just try to do the best we can to be in alignment with our chosen monetary professions. That's a big, long explanation of the way I feel about the first couple of lines here. You work that you may keep pace with the earth and the soul of the earth. Now, for some people, their activism work, whether they get paid for it or not, puts them in rhythm. This I was thinking this morning when I was coming up the steps to this radio station, I'm like, wow, I feel like brand new. You know, like my rest of my week, I feel different than when I walk up here at 7:45 on a Saturday morning. It's like a new day that in my regular life, a week can go by so fast. It's like, oh my God, it's Wednesday already. But I get here and I'm like, last Saturday seems like so long ago, you know, and I go through changes every day, but it's a different kind of relationship to time and space and learning to show up a different person, the same person, and portray the experiences and thoughts of the week and to step back with the rhythm of the earth and say, wow, the world's been through this week while we were apart. You know, and what do the people need? What do I need to give the people today? What's my relationship to the collective consciousness that I can show up and be something a little different than the other media that's bombarding people? So the authenticity, I appreciate y'all for that. Thank you for letting me be myself. Again, hey. So, when you work, you are a flute through whose heart the whispering of the hours turns to music. You may not work looking at that clock, just drag. But when we find the harmony, if we can, whatever those tasks are, to help the time go by just a little bit faster, even if it's doing your side hustle on the side of your work screen. Hey, I didn't see nothing. You know, that's why they don't want you working from home. You might get your side hustle going up too quick, because I think that's part of what he was saying about if in your pain call birth an affliction and the support of the flesh a curse written upon your brow, then I answer that naught but the sweat of your brow shall wash away that which is written. And it's like you telling people who are cursing work to work harder. I don't like that. You know, Dolly Parton song, it was like a rendition of 9 to 5 a couple years ago, and it involved a 6 to 12. And so her advice was, you do your 9 to 5 and then you got to go home and do your 6 to 12 to work on your dreams. And we were talking about that, you know, how tired you can get and how Dolly Parton seems to have been born with amphetamines in her blood. I don't see how she does it. She got a high metabolism like a hummingbird, and bless her, bless. So I'm like, I can't live up to Dolly Parton standards. That's just too busy. However, I do, you know, I do in my own way. And that's the place where I think Gibran is saying there is not but the sweat of your brow shall wash away that which is written. If you're unfulfilled, then figure out what it is that's going to fulfill you. Put that extra time in on yourself, because it's not life. It is. But it's the things that are going on here. So in our quest for self-knowledge, or I'll use I statements, in my quest for self-knowledge and understanding of therefore other humans, and then therefore how to not go crazy being on this planet, and then just in time to kick the bucket, but I'll catch it on the next go around, is that it's in being in alignment, like I was saying earlier. So if you hate your job, figure out what it is that you can do that would alleviate the way you feel stifled. Like for me, I don't hate painting. I like it. Would I like to be getting paid to do podcasts and everything and voiceovers and this and that? I would love to be doing that. However, I don't know what that looks like. You know, I don't know what kind of demanding producer or way that might show up as a complication in another form that I have to bend to. So I have to be like kind of content to say, how can I perceive where I'm at and my need to express myself in this way and relate to people in this way and exercise my talents in this way. I feel very blessed that I have a supportive listening audience and that KMRD is here, that I have a supporting station manager and fellow DJs and volunteers and supporters of this radio station, that I show up in the right place at the right time to be a part of this, which allows me to be in alignment. I'm not getting paid for it, but it is work. And when people come up, you know who you are, Rodera. I just called you out on it the other day and say, hey, you doing it this week? And I'm like, I didn't want to do it this week. I always don't want to do it because, you know, we're all fighting against atrophy. That's a part of M. Scott Peck's Road Less Traveled. Yeah, people call work an affliction because work in this culture is usually, since colonization, thrust upon oppressed people and pre-colonial oppressive systems. You know, where a group of people figure that they could just take from the people who are doing the actual labor. And that can happen in families, that can happen in within community structures, and the vastness of capitalism. So yeah, we learn to resent what we have to do from sunup to sundown because of the cost of living, right? And that then makes us tired, and it's harder to do the thing that makes us feel in alignment and in our power and like we're contributing to life's inmost secret. The secret that we are all, I personally think, connected and meant to be stewards of the land and supportive and stewards of each other, you know. So work a little harder. Figure out what it is that, you know, and then, yeah, maybe you have to work harder and do it as a volunteer. That was part of the unfulfilled dreams I wanted to get to here from Dr. King. And it's on subject, so I'm not going to skip around. But he says, in A Knock at Midnight, which was the last book we read, page 94 in the unfulfilled dreams speech. Each of you this morning is in some way is building some kind of temple. The struggle is always there. It gets discouraging sometimes. It gets very disenchanting sometimes. Some of us are trying to build a temple of peace. We speak out against war. We protest. But it seems that your head is going against a concrete wall. It seems to mean nothing. And so often as you set out to build the temple of peace, you are left lonesome, you are left discouraged, you are left bewildered. Well, that is the story of life. And the thing that makes me happy is that I can hear a voice crying through the vista of time saying, it may not come today or it may not come tomorrow, but it is well that it is within thine heart. It is well that you are trying. You may not see it. The dream may not be fulfilled, but it's just good that you have a desire to bring it into reality. It's well that it's in thine heart. Thank God this morning that we do have hearts to put something meaningful in. Life is a continual story of shattered dreams. And I'm just going to go a page backwards on page 192. So many of us in life start out building temples, temples of character, temples of justice, temples of peace, and so often we don't finish them because life is like Schubert's unfinished symphony. At so many points we start, we try, we set out to build our various temples. And I guess one of the great agonies of life is that we are constantly trying to finish that which is unfinishable. We are commanded to do that. And so we, like David, find ourselves in so many instances having to face the fact that our dreams are not fulfilled. You know, I thought a lot about how depressing that was, you know. But it's really about acceptance. And if some of the New Age self-awareness talk around releasing attachment to outcomes. You know, when we take things as one-liners, it's easy to miss the point. It really is related to labor. When we do the thing because it's in our heart to do it and it needs to get done, not for any other payoff except it makes sense for our soul journey to do it. Like, just do it. And getting the profit back for it, or the payoff is just having done the thing. I don't know. It makes sense when you get into the vibe of it, I think. You know, and to do whatever you're doing with the breath of your own spirit. It sucks that we have to work all the time. But if we can find the thing about it that we really enjoy, that we can do for as many hours in the day, whether it's putting on, you know, a coat of paint and standing back and saying, wow, I can't see that stain anymore. I just made this a little bit more beautiful for that person. It's helpful. And when we take care in the things that we do, people do see it. They might not always say it. And even if they don't see it, I'm sorry, I'm talking too much now. I'm about to do transmission in transmission. If they don't see it, you know. You know, and that, you know, goes back to the Dr. King that I like to talk about, where he's like, if you got to be a street sweeper your whole life, then you'd be the best street sweeper there ever was, so that the angels look down on you and say, wow, there goes what a blessed street sweeper. You know, you can find all of these great quotes and quips at In the Cramp Radio on YouTube.com and Mixcloud.com. I love y'all. Go ahead online and find yourself a copy, or to a thrift store near you, or way off in the distance, and get yourself a copy of The Prophet. It's worth it. It really is worth it. I love you. Thanks for tuning in to KMRD LP, Madrid, New Mexico.